Good morning. Let's open to Deuteronomy chapter 15. Deuteronomy chapter 15, 1 through 11. Deuteronomy 15, 1 through 11. I'm going to be reading from the NIV today. Deuteronomy 15:1. At the end of every 7 years, you must cancel debts. This is how it is to be done. Every creditor shall cancel any loan they have made to a fellow Israelite. They shall not require payment from anyone among their own people, because the Lord's time for canceling debts has been proclaimed. You may require payment from a foreigner, but you must cancel any debt your fellow Israelite owes you. However, there need be no poor people among you, for in the land the Lord your God is giving you to possess as your inheritance, he will richly bless you. If only you fully obey the Lord your God and are careful to follow all these commands I'm giving you today. For the Lord your God will bless you as he has promised, and you will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You will rule over many nations, but none will rule over you. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts is near, so that you do not show ill will towards the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you'll be found guilty of sin. Give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. And Father, we come here to worship you, to hear with you, to interact with you, to communicate with you. Lord, we just thank you for this morning. God, open our hearts and our spirits to what you have to say to us this morning. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So in Deuteronomy 15, it talks about this whole idea of canceling debts. And later in the chapter, you'll find out the year of Jubilee, the 50th year, everything is canceled. And so this principle is birthed out of the Sabbath principle, where 6 days you work and on the seventh you rest. And so this principle has been transferred into the idea of debts and loans, and also it will be transferred into the principle of land. And so let me start with land. So every 6 years, the farmers would work, and the people, most people were farmers, they would work on their land, but on the seventh year they would allow the land to rest. And so during that seventh year, that since they're not working, that seventh year would be devoted to the poor. So anything on that land would be given to the poor. And then in terms of canceling debts, it's because on that seventh year they're not allowed to work, and no one is allowed to work in that seventh year on the land. Therefore, it doesn't make any sense that they would be able to collect any debts, because no one is able to work, and so they can't repay that debts. If no one's working, there's no way to actually physically repay. And so the decree or the law was on the seventh year to cancel the debts of the poor, and so that was the concept. That principle also now moves into the relationship between masters and slaves, or masters and servants, that in that seventh year, the servants are now released, or have the right to be released in that seventh year. And that also is a concept of Sabbath, but it also, in the big sort of Old Testament Jewish tradition, it comes from the Exodus, it comes from the captivity in Egypt, how God released them from captivity, released them. And so this is sort of a visual picture of in the seventh year that these slaves or these servants are now released. And so that's sort of the concept of canceling debts. And some people like to make theologies out of that, out of this whole sort of concept. They like to make laws about it and theologies. Personally, I'd like to use it as guidelines instead of theology. Similarly to modesty, you know, the Bible talks about modesty and what women can wear and not wear. I mean, I would like to treat that those as guidelines and not make a theology out of those specifically on that. But that's not really what I want to focus on. It says in verse 7, if anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in the towns of the land your Lord, your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Rather, be open-handed and freely lend them whatever they need. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year of canceling debts, is near, so that you do not show ill will towards the needy among your fellow Israelites and give them nothing. They may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you'll be found guilty of sin. Just if I could stop there. And so a lot of owners thought like, well, you know, the seventh year is coming in 2 years. So, you know, I'm going to cancel your debts anyway. And so the thought was, I'm going to be stingy, I'm going to be tight-fisted, I'm not going to give to their needs, because, look, in 2 years, you're going to be released, and you're going to be free, and so, you know, we'll handle it then. That was sort of the concept that Moses was trying to come against, so that they may appeal to the Lord. But verse 10, and this is sort of the focus of the devotion this morning, give generously to them, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hand to. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-hearted toward your fellow Israelites who are poor and needy in your land. And so the Lord clearly talks about the necessity of giving. And so if I were to ask you about your view of giving, how do you view it? Do you view giving as a burden? Do you view giving as an obstacle? Like some people, including, you know, my dad, they view giving as punishment. It's like, man, why, you know? So what is your view? Charles Spurgeon preached once each year for orphans in his orphanage. And so there would be a big meeting, a great meeting, and many would come to hear him because he was a famous preacher, well known at the time. And then he would take an offering specifically for the orphanage. And there's a story of after one of these meetings, there was a man who was really indignant and upset that he would do that. And so he found Mr. Spurgeon afterwards, and he says, Mr. Spurgeon, I thought you preached for souls and not for money. To which Charles Spurgeon replied, why, Mr. So-and-so, normally I do preach for souls and not for money, but my orphans cannot eat souls. And if they did, my brother, it would take at least four of the size of your soul to give them at least one square meal. And so there's this idea of, you know, we need to give to the poor, and our generosity in giving our material blessing says a lot about the size of our spirituality. I read another story about Mother Teresa who visited Australia, and when she visited, there was a new sort of recruit in the Franciscan order in Australia that was assigned to be her guide, her helper, whatever she needed. I guess in business terms, or PA, I suppose, though I'm uncomfortable using that term for Mother Teresa. But in any case, so this new monk in the Franciscan order who was assigned to her was thrilled and excited, as probably you would be if you were assigned to Mother Teresa. It would be like, wow, this is amazing. He was thrilled at the prospect of being, you know, very close to this woman, spending time with this woman, having conversations with this woman, asking her all sorts of questions, learning from Mother Teresa. But during her visit in Australia, she was quite busy meeting dignitaries, meeting all sorts of other people, going to different orphanages, and he became very frustrated. And so this monk, this friar, never really had a clear opportunity to just spend some time with her and learn, you know, from her, learn from all her experiences and wisdom. And Mother Teresa, her next stop was to fly out to New Guinea, and her time was over, and so she had an itinerary, and she had to go to New Guinea. And so sort of out of frustration and desperation, the monk spoke to Mother Teresa and said, Mother Teresa, if I can pay my own fare to New Guinea, would you allow me to sit next to you so that I could talk to you and learn from you? To which Mother Teresa looked at him, if you have enough money to pay the airfare to New Guinea, then you should give that money to the poor, and you'll learn more from that than anything that I could ever tell you. If you look up in the Bible, that the Bible mentions prayer or to pray about 289 times, Bible mentions love 363 times, but it mentions giving or give over 1,043 times, that there's a precedence in the Bible about giving. And we talked about before just how many times it talks about the poor. And God has a tremendous emphasis in his word about giving. I think it's because we're just naturally selfish and stingy, and it's difficult for us naturally to give. But God challenges us to give of our time, to give of our finances, to give of our talents. The scripture mentions that very clearly. And so by the nature of generosity, it's in direct conflict with our nature of self-preservation and our nature of selfishness, to the point where generosity will now pose a threat to your desire to protect yourself. We all know the examples of sowing seeds, and specifically if you look at an apple seed, and I'm not using apple as an example because I'm into apple products, but it's just a good example that within an apple, inside there are many seeds within an apple, and if you take one of those seeds and you plant that seed, it will grow eventually into a tree that produces apples, and many apples will produce many seeds. And so that's a great sort of example that if you hold on to that one seed out of that apples, you are quite foolish. You know, if I were to, whether it be my son or anybody, in his sort of classes at school, they're learning about fruits and vegetables and food and where they come from and how they become, where they become, and talk about seeds. And it would just be silly for Elijah to look at an apple and not eat the seeds, but hold on to one of them. And it's like, Dad, I'm not going to give you this seed. I'm going to keep it. And it's like, well, that's dumb, just frankly. And if you plant that one seed, you will grow so much more. Now, for us, giving away something so valuable feels like a loss. It's like you had something and now you don't have it anymore. And you keep feeling like as you give, it's a loss. But the Bible puts it in a very different way, in a very different light, in the way that we should think about giving. It's saying that if we give to God's work, we're not losing anything. We're not giving something away, but we're sowing a seed. It's not a loss, but it's an investment that that brings a return. And so many of us in the finance world understands that principle greatly, that the farmer doesn't lose a seed when it plants it in the ground, but it gains a crop. It doesn't lose a seed, but it gains a crop. And so when we're challenged with the idea of giving, the Lord says to not be tight-fisted. And it's a great visual representation of what God is asking us to do. I have my phone here, and I can give it to anybody in any different ways. I can give it open-handed like this, and now it's up to you to choose it. You can actually snatch it out of my hand if you choose, or I can give it to you with a tight fist and be reluctant. And so now you have to pry my fingers away, and you have to physically fight over the freedom of this phone for me to give to you. And it's an example of being either tight-fisted giving with a tight fist or giving with an open hand. And so now as we examine sort of our heart motives and our hearts when we give our tithes and offerings, when we give of our time, are we giving it with a tight fist or are we giving it open-handed? And the Lord is asking us to give open-handed. So let's meditate on that this morning in terms of what the Bible is asking us in regards to how we live our lives and what he's instructed us to do and sort of the principles behind giving, that if we follow his principles, the Lord says that we will be blessed. And the Bible says that we'll be blessed so that we can give to others, that there's no need for any poor to be in the land because we will be blessed. And so out of our blessing, we can give to the poor, and there will be no poor in the land. And like I said, people like to make theologies out of this principle, but I want to encourage you to use it as your life guide as you give and decide to give. May you give with an open hand and not a tight fist. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we look into your word, we see the wisdom in the instructions that you give us. We see the principle at work, God, but for some reason our hearts are so closed and our hearts are so hardened and our hearts are so selfish and wanting to preserve our stuff. Lord, just as you have given the Israelites the understanding that the promised land is not their land to own, but is land that you have given them that they could enter into. Lord, may we understand that our time and our money is not ours, that we are given those things from you. That even our time on earth is not our own. That our time on earth is borrowed time from you. May we be good stewards of that time. That even the money we earn through what we do with our lives comes from you. It's not our own. That it's borrowed money from you. That any time it could be gone. And so, Lord, we just want to be good stewards of the resources that you've given us. Help us to give with open hands. And forgive us for our tight-fistedness. Thank you. Lord, for your love. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray generously. Let's pray with open open hands, with our time. I mean, we're here this morning to pray, so let's lift them up in prayer. Let's ask the Lord for those with cancer, that God would be close to them. Let's ask God for mercy and grace and to sustain them during this very difficult, challenging time in their lives. So let's pray for them. Let's lift them up right now. Pray for those, for the salvation of those loved ones that that are sick and ill. Let's pray for healing over their lives, but let's pray for healing over their souls, and let's lift up those who need to receive Christ. Let's lift them up in prayer. Pray for those with other illnesses and sicknesses. Ask the Lord to heal them. Continue to pray for Pastor Sam, who's got laryngitis. Also pray for Juanita, who just recently, yesterday, has also got laryngitis, from what I understand. So she's feeling ill. Let's pray for Juanita. For she prays for us, and so let's lift her up in healing. And so let's pray for these sicknesses now, in Jesus' name. Pray for those who are looking for jobs and employment, and let's ask the Lord's grace to continue to be upon them as He provides. Let's ask the Lord to be their provider during this time. So let's ask the Lord to open up job opportunities for those on the list. Let's pray. Thank you. Let's pray for our mission focus for today, and let's lift up North Korea with Chris, and let's pray for South Korea, and let's lift up Japan for Pastor Mitsunobu and Pastor Sophia. Let's pray that the gospel would be reached to those areas. Let's pray for covering over our servants there, and so let's lift up these areas. Pray for our intercessory prayer team. Let's pray for our prayer ministry. Let's pray for our inner healing ministry. And let's lift them up in prayer. Let's cover them. Let's ask the Lord to give them wisdom and insight and discernment, and that God would use them in powerful ways. Let's ask the Lord to also raise up more ministry leaders in these ministries. And so let's lift them up in prayer right now. Let's pray for men's and women's ministries, that that God would use these ministries to bring men into understanding of who they are as God created them to be. And let's ask the Lord to bless the women, that they would grow into the knowledge of their full destiny, that they'd be released to be who God has created them to be. So let's pray for men's and women's ministries. Pray for our house churches that are meeting today, Soho and Harborside. Ask the Lord to bless these groups, to bless the leaders and the conversation, and so that the Lord would be in the midst of their time together. So let's pray for our house churches. Let's pray for our outreaches going out today for SP Lights and for Homie Outreach, that Let's pray for protection over them, for their spirit, for their souls, for their emotions. Let's pray for the people that they are reaching, that they would encounter Christ. Let's continue to be bold and ask for salvations. Let's ask the Lord to set the captives free, and let's be bold, so bold enough to pray in that manner. So let's lift them up right now. So, Father, we just want to be generous in our living. God, help us to fight our flesh and be led by the Spirit, and give us understanding and revelation that we are not losing anything, but, Lord, we are investing and sowing seeds to eventually see an incredible harvest, that you would use just our resources that we have for your kingdom and your glory. God, we just want to see just your kingdom come and your will be done. So, Father, we thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you today. Have a great time in prayer, and we'll see you tomorrow.